Welcome to Season 2 of The Voice Behind the Pen, hosted by author and screenwriter S.C. Dickens. Before we move into this new season, we'd like to thank everyone for tuning in, following, subscribing, rating, and sharing Season 1. Keep sending in your feedback as it helps us get better at delivering a quality show for you all to enjoy. A special thanks to all of the guests from Season 1, Freeze, Tony Hale III, Mark Six Mitchell, Empress Rolanda, William Young, Keith Lakeen Powell, Victor L. Martin, John Alexander, Brianna Cole, and Marcus Massey. Thank you all for coming on and sharing your expertise, mindset, and wisdom. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send SC an email via the email link at www.theauthorscdickens.com. While you're on the site, be sure to check out SC's ghostwriting services and other works on the store page. If you'd like to advertise on the show, or you'd like production work for any of your projects, send me an email at faxtheproducer@gmail.com. That's fax with a Z. So, as usual, kick back, grab whatever your go-to is to let loose, and please enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Voice Behind the Pen podcast. I'm your host, author and screenwriter, S.C. Dickens. Today, we have the pleasure of hosting Darryl Carr, a Brooklyn-born writer whose journey into the world of storytelling began at the age of 16. Drawing inspiration from his vibrant upbringing in Brooklyn, Darryl has crafted a compelling debut novel titled Victim of Love, Unfinished Business. While we'll unravel the layers of his debut novel, diving into the theme of unfinished business and the complex characters he's created, join us as we uncover the challenges Darryl faced while penning this thrilling narrative and explore the real-life events that influence his storytelling, while also discovering the significance of setting and his work, particularly the role Brooklyn plays in shaping his narrative landscape. Without any further ado, let's welcome our guest. Good evening, Darryl. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How's everything?
Everything is great, man. I can't complain.
All right.
I want to first tell you I appreciate you coming on the show. You know, our schedules have been crossing a little to get this little thing going, but, you know, we got it together, you know. Got it together.
Well, I do appreciate you having me on, though. Trust me.
Oh, yeah, man. I thank you for coming on, man. You know, I think this is the new age of people promoting themselves is the you know, podcast and everything, you know, so.
Yeah, it definitely is. This is a new way of doing it right now.
Yeah.
You know, now this, I mean, it gives you your own control over your own show. So, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to start writing at the age of 16?
To tell you the truth, it started out with a girl that I was with. You know, she had a little tragic little background to her. And I decided I wanted to pick something together off of that. So I wrote up a book that book is unpublished. It still sits on my coffee table to this day. And I came up with this girl who had a traumatic background who wind up becoming some serial killer. You know, she fell into it. And once the way I wrote it and after people read some of it, it just inspired me to want to be on that page and just writing.
Okay. Do you think that your upbringing in Brooklyn helped nurture that as well to get away from the hustle and bustle, you might say?
It did, though. It did. It did. It really did, though, because, I mean, you know, when you grow up in the hood or you grow up in Brooklyn, man, you got a story to tell. Like Biggie said, I got a story to tell. You do. And, you know, we all got that unwritten story inside of us, all of us, regardless of where you grew up at. It's just a matter of you putting that stuff down on paper and getting it going.
Okay. Can you tell us about your creative process when you're coming up with ideas for your books? Because I know that you do it during your workouts. So what in general do you do?
First, I come up with the title. I can't write any book without a title. And I build based off of the title, I build my story off of that. And then from there, once I get that title, I start to have that concept of the story. Then I start jotting down notes. I'll come up with that main character. And then mentally start writing little things about them and then start putting it down on paper. And then from there, I start building my story. Once I got that whole key concept, that middle, I can create my whole narrative for that story. And that's why, that's how I do it though. But I'm inspired mostly if I'm smoking a cigar, if I'm working out. But once I get that title, it's a wrap.
Okay. What challenges did you face when you started writing Victim of Love, Unfinished Business?
I ain't really have no challenges. To tell you the truth, I for some reason, once I got that concept of that story came from a dude that I was working with. He told about his brother. His brother had called him when we was at work and said, I just busted my wife with another dude inside the crib. And he put the beats on him. He's about to do something else. So standing out there talking to homeboy while he on the phone, I came up with that whole concept of Victim of Love. And I based him off of one of the characters or whatever like that. Just changed some things around. But yeah, it's not so much of a hood book, but it's just that concept of what men go through that's out here on the grind, that face challenges with their lady that really don't add up to much.
Okay. What about Detective Doran Smith?
Doran Smith?
Yeah. What role did he play?
In which book though? Wait, we talking about Victim still?
Was he in Victim? Because I thought I read that he was in Victim.
No, I think I got also a cop book called Cold Blue. Cold Blue, I think the character, the Detective Smith, I think it was, Darren Smith. He's from Cold Blue. I'm trying to bridge that between the both of the books or whatever like that. If I'm right, he was also one of the spinoff characters from Victim of Love who wind up in Cold Blue, him and another female that was in Victim of Love.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Don't feel bad about that. You know why? Because one day I ran into a friend of mine and I've known this person for a while. Mm-hmm. And they said, yo, I didn't know you wrote Didn't See This Coming. I said, yeah. They said, yo, man, that's been on my coffee table. I read it when it first came out. They say, yo, why did such and such and such and such do that? Why did you have to do that? And I'm looking at them and I'm like, what are you talking about? They say you wrote it in your book. You don't remember? I said, yo, I write so much stuff. No, I don't remember.
You do though. You do. I'm not gonna lie to you. If you haven't brushed up on, like, I'm getting familiar with Victim right now because I'm trying to do a series. I'm trying to produce my own series with characters or whatever like that. I'm trying to bring it to Tubi or someplace. So I'm working right now with somebody. We're working on the scripts. I got one script. I really got four scripts finished, but I did the whole rewrite to them. I ain't like how they came out. So I'm in the process of doing a rewrite. But you do forget certain things. Like I remember reading Victim 3 to get something out of it. And I'm like, oh, shit, I wrote that? So I had to go back and I went back to the notes. I'm like, damn. But by going back to your work, though, I find that you give a new rebirth to it because now your characters then had a time to sit on the shelf.
Yeah.
So now you go back to revisit them. You wind up developing them more.
Yeah, I believe that.
And enhancing them. It's crazy, though. But, like, even through all my books, I got the Victim of Love series. I got the Cold Blue series. Well, part two ain't coming out till this summer. But all those characters, I got two characters from the Victim of Spirits that spent off into the Cold Blue. And that's just taking it. Like, I had somebody not long ago read the whole Cold Blue thing. Was like, yo, I didn't know so-and-so. I forgot so-and-so came from here. But, yo, this is crazy. I like how you did that. I think any great writer, if you want to really enhance your story, you need that spinoff a little bit. That's from that. Who was that guy that did All in the Family? Leary. His last name is Leary. But Leary did those spinoffs, if you notice, from back in the day with the Jeffersons, with Good Times,
yes,
with the Butters. He had those characters spin off and make their own stuff, but it brung so much enhancement to the storylines of each one. Maybe I'm not explaining it right, but it made you look forward to what was coming with these characters because you know where they came from.
Yeah. Can you give us a little backdrop of the other series that you got out?
Well, the Cold Blue series about a detective, Cynthia Blake. Cynthia Blake faced some crazy tragedies with the loss of her husband and her son at a police academy graduation. And what happened was that spent off her whole character because she was retired and she wind up coming back on the job to get the murderers who killed her son and her husband. The foreground for that was with the Russians. The Russians were behind the death of her son and them, but it wasn't purposely, but somehow a case that she worked on years ago, this guy resurfaced and wind up killing her husband and her son. She goes after them, along with a character from Victim of Love, Lauren Matthews, who was like some type of cleanup woman in that first book. Towards the end, she was a cleanup woman for her father. So the two of those girls come together to wind up killing off these Russians. Almost losing their life, though. But it's crazy of the shit they went through in order to do that. And from that, I'm bringing them back again for part two I got coming out hopefully in July or August. And they facing now his daughter, Alba Raminsky's daughter, who was a trained assassin in the Russian army, who is coming to the U.S. now to take out both of the individuals that killed her father. So this is going to be a bad book. I'm taking my time on this one because it's going to be a little bit sick. So I've been studying and researching certain things so I can make this one just a little sick.
Okay. Now, what was the backstory on that? That sounds like an interesting book.
Well, my background, I'm a retired police officer. So that whole law enforcement stuff, I got that pat. But what it just inspired that was showing the corruption. Showing how people can be corrupt when money's on the table, whether it's in the city, whether it's in the police department, whether it's in just some type of mafia type standard. There's corruption anywhere as long as there's money on the table. It just goes to show you that in the midst of all that corruption, you have good people that stand against that, and that's going to go to the extremes to cancel it out.
Okay, okay. A little backdrop. I was a police officer in New York as well.
You was? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I used to be in the 7-5. Then I got transferred to Central Booking. But well, we'll talk about that later on.
Okay. Yeah, I was in the 7-3. All right. We were neighbors.
Okay, yeah, right. Neighbors, right in the up the block. Yeah. Yep. We was on the same radio frequency.
Yes, we was. Yes, we was. Brooklyn North.
Yes, sir. All right. So how do you balance the suspense elements of your storytelling and character development?
Characters got to grow. If they don't grow, your book is going to be garbage. And no offense to anybody, any writer that's out there, but we progress in life. So just like we progress in life, your story and your characters have to. There got to be drama in every scene. Everybody in life face some type of obstacle. Not every hour, not every minute, but when you get to that next chapter or something, you're going through something. There's always a change. Or you're going to meet some type of adversity. So I like to try to keep that going. I do have those quiet moments, but not for long. You know, I try to end out my chapters or every other chapter with what I call a bottom dropper. Got to have something. Got to have that suspense to keep people wanting to turn that next page.
How do you keep up with your characters and what they're good at and what they can do?
Very hard. Very hard. But, you know, you'll hear some people, you've been in the writing game probably for a while, and you'll hear some people say, oh, I can't have no more than 3 characters in my book. I can't have no more than 2 characters in my book. In my book, there's a lot of characters, but I try to make sure that each time I'm writing, developing them, that I keep track of what's going on with them. You know, I even do a whole thing where I outline the chapters so that way I know Lisa and Ray was talking on this one. But I just try to maintain my keeper. I don't try to pad the book with too many characters. I just try to make sure that it streamlines effectively. So when you do read it, you get it and you don't get lost knowing who's talking.
Okay, okay. How do you navigate through the marketing and promotion and the aspects of being an author?
I'm horrible at it. The marketing aspect. I'm revamping myself this year where I'm going to get out there more. I've been on a couple of book tours with Quan and them. I don't know if you ever heard of Quan and them.
And
I've been on book tours with them and stuff like that. I'm not good at marketing, and I got to get into that. I have a good product. You know, drug dealers out here ain't, you know, they don't market too well, but they know they got something good. They pushing it.
You know?
And books is that natural product. You gotta push that. When I did the Victim series, people liked it so much that I was out here really pushing it. Even if I have to give somebody a book free just so they can read it, because I know they was coming back for 2 and 3. I always try to leave some type of sort of message in my book. That Victim of Love title was just basically showing that at some point in life, we all a victim of love. You know, that whether it be somebody cheating on you, whether you lose somebody tragically to something, we all fall prey to being a victim.
Okay. What is the most common misconception in writing process that you want to debunk?
Writing process?
Yeah. What do you want to debunk as far as the misconception?
You hear a lot of people say you don't need an outline. You do. You really do, though. You really do. Some people say, but you know what? It's just like working out in the gym. What works for you may not work for me. But people shouldn't go around saying you don't need to do this in writing or you don't need to do that in writing, depending on what it is. Like, I ran into people say, oh, you do an outline? Oh, yeah, I don't waste my time on that. That's garbage. Like, no, but how you gonna keep track of what you got going on for your story? Sometimes you can lose your way with that, but if you got a little outline, you good to a point. And don't get me wrong, I'll outline up to maybe about 15 chapters or 20 chapters and then fall off, but then I'll go right back.
Okay. So how do you handle feedback, both positive and negative, from readers?
I handle it well, depending on what it is. You like mustard, I like ketchup. Is it a bad thing? No. You know what I'm saying? I might not like mustard, but you like ketchup. It's not a bad thing. I understand. Criticism, you have to take. You know, but if you got that bullshit criticism, I'm not listening to that. I'm not going to let that faze me. Thank you for buying the book. I appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? But if you got that constructive criticism, like I had an editor, one of the best. I wish I found her in my early game. But I tried an okie doke in one of my in Cold Blue that I thought nobody would see, and the editor sent it back to me when she read it and was like, "Why would you do that?" That made she said it. I see where you was going with it, but it made no sense, and you shouldn't do that to a reader. And right then and then, I realized, you know what? Let me not try to play games like that. Let me just be real on how I'm trying to bring this across. And I had to switch it up, and I did.
Okay, how important is it to keep a pace in a thriller and suspense novel?
I don't know. You just got to make sure as a writer that you keep the person reading interested in what you got going on. You should have something developing right along the way, leading up to that big expectation that you got going on. You just got to it's important, but don't rush it. A lot of people want to pick something in there to show X, Y, and Z. Don't force it. Let it grow.
Okay, what do you hope that readers will remember most about your books?
The suspense and the drama. The suspense and the drama. I like that. It's like watching Power and I like that old shit when you close a book. Anytime I write a book, when I come up with my titles and stuff like that, I try to come up with the ending before anything. Because I want somebody to be able to close that tablet or close that book and be like, oh shit, I like that.
What is your experience as a self-published author that you didn't expect?
How bad the editors you can possibly get.
Listen, I was fortunate enough to know somebody that was on point with the editing. But I had a friend, I'm not going to mention his name, he had a book that came out. And when me and my editor read it, we was like, there's no way in the world he paid somebody to edit this book. He had to just edit it himself and put it out there.
Let me tell you something.
When I asked him again, he said, nah, I paid. And I said, how much did you pay? I said, yo, you might want to go back and get your money, because she did a terrible job, yo.
And let me tell you something. You ain't getting your money back. I done been through, bro. Let me tell you something. I done been through, oh, this editor did my book. And then this editor did my book. And you go get them and shit like that. And you get charged. I'm sorry, I've been cursing. Damn.
Oh, no, you good, man. I tell everybody, listen, you're a writer, right? And I tell everybody, I don't put no cap on how people conduct the conversation on my podcast.
Okay,
you
know, okay.
I'm not an editor. You feel free to curse, then you feel free to curse. I'm never going to tell you, oh, you can't say that, or you can't say this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah, so I ran into some, you know, you get the hearsay editors, you know, and you use them, bro. They charge you $350, $400, $500, and then you get it back. And you be like, what? And then you know, you got to reach them. And then they get mad, and then you can't reach them no more. You know what I'm saying? And it got to a point where my girl, she got into the publishing game in the process of her doing her, what you call it. It got to a point where we had writers and we would just have to just circle each other books around and then hope that we'll find somebody that really was up there that we can pass on the work, that they could be true to edit it right. You know, because you can't edit your own work as a writer, because how you see it, how you set it on your mind and what is what you think you got on paper, sometimes that don't be. You be having all types of things or words you thought you added in, but you added in something else. So, and you know, when you for editing, it's more than just commas and punctuation that they're doing. It's the grammar, it's the concept, it's changing around the sentence structures. It's a whole lot of things that go with it. And some of these people are sitting there and be like, oh yeah, I'm an editor. Well, what did you edit? Well, I read books all the time, so I know what I'm looking for. No, that don't be it. And the editor I found now, she helped out with the Cold Blue thing, and she did a good job. I want to redo the victims. The victims wasn't bad. 2 and 3 wasn't bad. 1 was good, but it was short. But I want to give it to her. But I think I just got an email. I think she's doing religious books now. She ain't doing no more drama books or whatever. She want to keep it religious. But I'm hoping she'll change her mind. She said, but she might change her mind. But let's see what happens.
Yeah, there's a couple of writers that I wanted to get on to my podcast, and they're no longer writing urban. And I mean, they wrote some rough stuff. And now they writing Christian books. And I'm not going to knock them, because I have written one. It was called Pastor Thug. And it's still a little rough, you know, but I knew I needed to get a base around everything. I didn't just want to stay in urban. I didn't want people to say, oh, he's just an urban writer. I wanted to let people see my versatility as far as, you know, what I can do.
And that's the thing too. A lot of people, because we black, they'll throw us all the, like my book. And when I did on my initial tour and stuff like that, people say, oh, you urban fiction. And I always hated it, because if you read my book, the main character in my book is Bruce Johnson. Bruce Johnson is a black dude who came from two parents that were lawyers, and he wind up building out and rising to the top with a tech company. No hood in him. Nick, dude is from the suburbs. The girl he was with was a little hood and a little thot. He wasn't. You know what I'm saying? So in my books, there's no hood. There's no hood stuff. So, you know, people say, oh, but still you urban fiction. I'd be like, I'm not really urban fiction. It's not really urban like that. Oh, but you know, the characters are black. Yeah, I know, but you got people right now that's moving stuff, that's in the suburbs, going through different type of problems than what somebody is from the hood.
Mm. Yeah.
And we got to be able to spotlight that too. Like, look at Bill Cosby and, you know, with his show, a doctor and a lawyer. Kids were going through the same thing. I wanted something similar to that, but with your drama, with your murder, with your suspense.
Got you. Can you share a memorable reaction from a reader that stands out?
One of my main characters, the Mother and Victim series, she killed herself in the precinct because she wind up, I'm going to give away some of the plot, but you got to read it to get to it. She wind up killing her son's wife because she caught her son's wife with another man, and Bruce had walked in. So people were shocked at the fact that the mother killed herself, because everybody loved Sarah. She was a bad bitch. She was just that. She was just that female that held the family together, that was loving, but that wasn't no joke to play with.
All right. So how do you handle the expectations from readers? What do you think they expect from you from your next novel, from reading your first?
I always try to anticipate in the sense that they want something along the lines of what they got, but a little more deeper. I just try to make each book that I come out with a little more deep than the last one. I like to, it's like you know, when you read something, you want to be wrapped into it. And I like those moments of that, when, especially if I'm reading something. So I want to bring that to readers. I want them just to just get some out of that. But I want them also to get a message, too, in the process.
Okay. With you being a male author, how do you feel that you are strong enough as a writer to depict a woman in your novel?
That's easy to answer. I write female characters better than I do male characters, bro. And that's because I grew up with no women. I grew up with none but women, bro. So my female characters are dangerous. And people love me for my female characters. Don't get me wrong. I got some male characters. But, like, I noticed that my first series, it was Bruce who was the main character. But his mother was really the one. She led that whole two-book series. And then when I got to that third book, I guess subconsciously I picked out another female character, which was Lauren Matthews, and she ran that shit. And now in the Cold Blue series right now, is I got two females. A female retired cop, detective, Cynthia Blake, and Lauren Matthews. And, bro, they running it. I like writing female characters.
Okay. What's next for you as an author? And what should we expect?
Well, there's one book that was on there that I failed to mention, which was The Bad Son. And The Bad Son is different from both books that I got going on. And that Bad Son is about a child who was in the house at the time his mother was murdered. He stood outside her bedroom door while his mother was murdered. And he winds up down the line being a serial killer based off of, you know, his mother was, she was out there. She was a stripper working in the clubs. He was raped by his mother's girlfriend, who pimped him out as a little boy to a man. So with all that he went through, now he's going to wind up being some type of real serial killer. So I'm working on book two to that right now. And I'm just trying to make that real gritty and real dark.
Okay. How many books to date do you have out?
About five.
Okay. And how many books to a series?
Right now, I got the Victim of Love series, which is only three books. Cold Blue is only one, but it's going to be part two coming out in August. And then The Bad Son will be part two coming out maybe in September.
Okay. What advice do you... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Most likely, I'm probably going to the Cold Blue series, probably going to be about five books.
Okay.
Will eventually. That's a goal for that. And The Bad Son, probably about the same. Because I'm going down a rabbit hole. The more I research things, I think I'm just going to just take it there. I try to keep it short on a number of books because I don't want people to get tired of them. But I realize people like series.
What advice would you give an inspired writer who pursues a writing career?
Start writing. Don't worry about anything else. Get it down on paper. Start writing. Most people just say they want to write, but never start writing. Start writing, and you can always build around. You can always find you an editor. You can always find you somebody to do a book cover. But the writing, that's needed. You got to start writing.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? You know, I started writing in 2005, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought I could write. You know, my cousin told me, she was like, yeah, cuz you could write. You know, and I didn't know where to start. I just started writing. And then when I started writing and then I started reading it, I said, nah, I got to make that make sense. And it just, you know, the pieces fit for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I also looked at a couple of other people's books to say, oh, okay, this is how the format and everything go. You mm-hmm. know, so, you know, they call it vomiting on the sheet. Just
yeah.
throw up everything you got. Throw it on that paper and you'll make sense of it later on.
That's all. That's why you got to go back over it. Yeah.
Do you find yourself being able to just write without editing, or do you see yourself going back editing and then writing again?
I see myself writing and going back and editing. You have to do your version of your edits, and that's not the edits that's good enough to go up on Amazon. No, you have to go through it. See, you may change characters. You may change this. You may add a whole new chapter. So you do got to go through your editing process. And then that's when you hand it off to the editor and they help polish everything off.
Well, man, I appreciate you coming on the show again. In closing, Can I get you to give everybody your contact information, your social media, any way that they can get in contact with you, get a book or anything, man?
Okay, so if you're looking to read up on the Victor Milov series, you can find them on Amazon. That's where you can get them from right now. My Twitter is dcar217, and my Instagram is dcar217. That's where you can find me at. And Facebook is Daryl Carr. That's it.
All right, man. Again, I appreciate you coming on the show. You know. And this is another episode of the Voice Behind the Pen podcast. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Good night, everyone.